God has promised restitution or restoring of all things to their original purpose and beauty. This hope was extended to the Israelites in the Old Testament by many of the prophets, and it is upon the Old Testament that the New Testament is built. The Old Testament provides the skeleton, and the New Testament furnishes the muscles, the flesh, and blood to make a composite picture of God's overall plan for man. The birth of Jesus was the focal point of one of these prophecies, and his return to this earth to establish the kingdom of God is another. The New Testament unfolds the story of Jesus' birth, his mortal life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Then it falls in line with prophecies from such men as Isaiah, Zechariah, Daniel, and David, and shows that this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as he ascended into heaven. Consider Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. It is upon this promise of his return that true hope lies. Short of the return of God's Son to this earth, the Christian is in as hopeless a state as the unsaved of the world. Peter showed the necessity of the return of Jesus when he said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Acts 3:19-21. God plans to restore all things to the Edenic beauty, but first he is allowing man to accept the conditions of entrance into his coming paradise. Peter said in 2 Peter 3, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God is anxious for people to join the ranks of the faithful before the time grows to a close and the door is shut. He is not anxious to punish, though he will punish the wicked with eternal death when the time for judgment comes. He is long-suffering now, waiting for others to accept his plan of salvation, but this time of God's patience will someday end. When man has had long enough an opportunity, God will draw shut the curtain of time and send Jesus back to this earth. Many in that day will bewail the fact they've waited too long to accept God's generous offer. And in Revelation 6, verses 15 through 17, we have some notes of hysteria expressed by those who stubbornly go their way and either reject or ignore God's plan of salvation. It says, "The kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" It is not necessary that anyone be found in this condition, because all have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ and find salvation. But there will always be someone fulfilling the prophecy of Peter when he said, "There shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. Rather than scoff, we are admonished to believe. The Apostle Paul placed special emphasis on the return of Jesus, for it was in his return and only in his return would the hope of Paul and of other Christians be realized. Paul said to the Thessalonians, "What is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy." 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. It was the hope of Paul that the Thessalonians would remain faithful until the coming of Christ, and thus be accepted and find life eternal through him at that time. Some will take note and say that this old earth is going to be burned up, and that it therefore cannot be the everlasting home of the righteous. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 says in part, "The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Now this scripture would seem to lend support to the idea that the earth will not last forever, but we read only the last part of the verse. Let's backtrack and read the entire portion of Scripture. "The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall melt away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." If this verse were to be taken completely literal concerning the earth, and it should also be taken literally concerning the heavens passing away with a great noise. Taken literally, then, there is no place left for the faithful. Everything is destroyed. And if both heaven and earth is destroyed, then must all men be destroyed as well. Yet, when we study the entire chapter in question, from its beginning, we note that three heavens and three earths are mentioned. The first heaven and the first earth were before the flood. As Peter put it, by the word of God, the heavens of old and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So the first heaven and the first earth, or the first dispensation of man, disappeared with the flood. This, of course, is in reference to the account of Noah. The present heaven and earth, or the dispensation in which we now live, will continue until God sees fit to change the order of world government, and then he will cleanse this earth and establish his eternal kingdom. As the waters destroyed or cleansed the earth once, so fire is going to destroy or cleanse the earth the next time. That cleansing will usher in the golden age of God. Then we will come into being the third heavens and the third earth, or the final dispensation in the history of this world. This one will be ruled by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. As an interesting sidelight, you might want to compare these thoughts with the comments of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, where he speaks of someone caught up into the third heaven. Was he not probably speaking of this very thing? Someone, probably John, who was taken forward in time and was permitted to see that the world would transpire in the third heavens and the third earth, or the future kingdom of God. So we do not look for a complete annihilation of this earth or of the heavens that we see above us, but we look for a cleansing that will take place beginning at the second coming of Jesus and concluding with the great white throne judgment that is described in Revelation 20. It is not God's purpose to destroy this earth, but to make it a fit place for those who have walked in truth and righteousness, to live throughout eternity, enjoying the full blessings of their God. Revelation 5 pictures certain ones who sing the praises of Jesus and say, "Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to our God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Revelation 5, 9, and 10. This is the song of the redeemed one of all ages, those who have been saved of all peoples and nations. And what is their song? "We shall reign on the earth." Is their song wrong? Have they been misguided? Were they beguiled to believe a false doctrine? No, these are they that believed and obeyed the truth, and now they sing prophetically, "We shall reign on the earth." Nothing is said in their song about the glories of heaven, or of being with God and Jesus someplace else in space, sitting on a cloud playing a harp, but their song was, "We shall reign on the earth." Again, though we might be accused of repetition, we want to impress upon you that this morning that the amazing truth of the Scripture is that this earth is the promised home of the redeemed. God has never promised that the righteous should inherit any place other than this earth. Not the stars, the moon, or one of the planets. No, not even heaven. But "we shall reign on the earth." We have all probably heard about the pearly gates of heaven on many occasions. Reference to the gates of pearl is made in the Bible. But someone long ago misplaced these gates as being the opening through which disembodied souls winged their ways to the Master. Scriptures show in Revelation 21 the New Jerusalem coming down from God, out of heaven, showing that God was going to rule over men and have them worship him in perfection after the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. This city is described as having 12 gates, and John said the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was a pearl, and the streets of the city were pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Revelation 21:21. Notice the amazing truth given here. The city is coming down from God. God is going to dwell with men, according to verse 3. And the pearly gates and the streets of gold are going to be on the earth. Let us not be guilty of misreading or misapplying God's word. In so doing, we endanger our chances of being accepted into this eternal kingdom of God. Let's go back to the first part of Revelation 5 and read a few of the first verses and see what they tell us. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. God will not make all new things, but he will make all things new. This is the great restitution or restoration that we've been speaking about. It is as though you had an accident in your car and you took it to a body shop to have it renewed. This world is a wreck today. Man has really made a mess of it. We have crime, starvation, poverty, pollution, and the list could go on, but someday God will, in a sense, hammer out the bumps. He will sand down the ridges, buff out the rough spots, and rework the warped areas so that the earth will once again be a place where God can fellowship and commune with man as he did with Adam in the Garden of Eden. Notice the description that Isaiah gives to this age in the 35th chapter of his book. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. God's kingdom is going to be the best thing that ever happened to this earth. It will certainly be the best that could happen to each one of us, and we have the opportunity of experiencing it, but we must first of all believe in the truths of God's Word. In addition to listening to this broadcast, we urge you to study God's Word on your own. And to help you with this, we offer a 29-lesson home Bible study course free of charge to anyone who's interested. Also, we'd be happy to send you free of charge our monthly international magazine, The Restitution Herald. If you'd appreciate either the home Bible study course or the magazine, send us your name and address, and they will be sent to you free of charge.